words of that song they just sang is so true. Everybody hurts sometimes. The reality is we all have difficult days. We all have difficult weeks. Some of us even have difficult years. And I want to start off by asking you this question right now. What has been the best year of your life so far? If you would look back on the life that you've lived up to this date, and you could point in one particular year and say, that year was awesome. That was an amazing year. Would it be 2002? 1994, 1971, what would that year be for you? And why was that one of the best years of your life? What was happening? What were you experiencing? What was going on? And then I want some of you to be honest right now. How many of you, raise your hand if you would say 2009 has been the best year of my life so far? Raise your hand. Is there anybody? There's a few people. A few of us would say this year right now is one of the best years. There's a lot of us who haven't raised our hands because we've had some great years in the past or because we're dealing with a lot of stuff right now in our life, and there's things that we need to overcome. And so that's why for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be talking about how you can overcome the difficulties of life, the struggles, the temptations, the problems that life brings our way. And our hope is that when this 8 weeks is over, that there would be a lot more hands that would go up in the room at the end of this 8 weeks. As people would say, you know what, now I've connected myself with God. Now I've connected with God's people. Now I understand how to overcome the trials, the temptations, the struggles of life. And now that I've learned that, 2009 has become one of my best years ever. One of the years that I look back on with fond memories. That's our goal. That's our hope. What we're going to be doing to accomplish this is we're going to be looking at a book of the Bible called Philippians. Philippians was written by a guy named Paul. And in this book, we see how Paul gave us some ideas, some concepts, some theories of how we can overcome all the difficult things that we're going through. So if you have your Bibles right now, would you open up to the book of Philippians? It's found in the New Testament. It's near the end of your Bible. And I want to read to you just kind of the beginning couple of verses. And this is the way that Paul, the guy that writes this book, writes a lot of his letters in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. He starts by saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. That's his way of kind of signing the book, letting you know that he wrote it. And he co-wrote this with a guy named Timothy, who was one of his good friends. Timothy was kind of Paul's apprentice in the faith. Paul was mentoring him, training him, teaching him to be a leader just like Paul. Then he goes on to say, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. He said, I wrote this book to all the Christians, the believers in God in the city of Philippi. Now, Philippi was a Roman colony during Jesus' time, and it was located in modern-day Greece. Before that, Philippi was founded and was named after a guy named King Philip II of Macedon. He was actually the father of Alexander the Great. So he was a very famous guy. And the city was founded for him when Greece was kind of at its height. But the Romans had taken over for the Greeks. And during Jesus' time, again, this was a Roman city. It was a very prosperous city. There was a lot of gold there. There was a lot of transactions. There was a lot of commerce. It was a very important city in that period, in that time frame as well. So that was kind of the city that Paul was writing to. If you want to find out about how Paul got to know this city, you can read in the book of Acts in chapter 16. It tells the story of the very first time that Paul went to the city of Philippi. Talks about his times there. And then he went there one other time. That's also in the book of Acts. And when we're reading right now, this is near the end of Paul's life. It's about AD 61, about 30 years after Jesus' death. And Paul is now writing back to the believers that he met earlier on in his life in the city of Philippi. And the interesting thing is, when Paul is writing this letter, he's actually in the city of Rome, and he's in prison. He's in a jail. He's in this rented house where there's always a guard watching him. And throughout the book of Philippians, Paul says this one phrase, because I am in chains, or now I am in chains. And I wanted to kind of get a visual for what Paul was going through. These are handcuffs. These would be chains in our day and age, and this is what we would wear if we were criminals, and if we would be in a prison or in a jail cell, and we would have these chains on us. We wouldn't be able to move. It would be difficult. This is what Paul was wearing, something like this. He had chains on his hands. He had chains on his feet, a constant reminder that he was in bondage. And this would have been anytime he wanted to think about it, he'd just look down and go, you know what? I've got difficulties. I've got struggles. Life has been unfair to me. I don't deserve this, but this is what I have. And today we're going to specifically talk about loneliness. And Paul had the ability to be lonely. If anyone deserved to be lonely, it was Paul. He was in a prison cell by himself most of this time he was there. He was in this cell, the Bible tells us, for 2 years. And because he was alone so much of the time, that's why he wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament during that time. So if there was anybody who could have been lonely, it was definitely Paul. But what we're going to see as we read through the book of Philippians, and specifically chapter 1, he wasn't a lonely person. He understood what the keys were to overcome loneliness in his life. So in just a moment, we're going to look at the rest of this chapter. But before we do, I want you to look on your notes, and I want you to answer yourself this question. What is loneliness to you? There's just a blank line there. How would you define loneliness? Maybe write in there, what is your definition of loneliness? Or maybe think about it this way. When was the time in your life when you felt most alone? When loneliness was at its height in your personal life? Maybe you just want to write down that time or that place where you were. Because the reality is, at some point in our life, we all experience this thing called loneliness. I was thinking about for myself. When was it when I felt the most lonely? For me, it was my sophomore year of college. I was away in a town called Manhattan, Kansas, over 1,000 miles away from my family back here in Phoenix, Arizona. And up to this time, I thought my life was going pretty good. I was enjoying school. I had gotten a girlfriend, this beautiful girl named Paula. She later became my wife. But this is what happened. One night, I remember this night vividly. Paula wanted to meet with me, talk to me about some stuff, and we met late one night on the school campus. When we got together, she said, "You know what? I want to break up with you. I don't want to be your girlfriend anymore, and in fact, I want to date your cousin." Oh, yeah, not a good day in my life. Not a good time. I was angry, I was depressed, I was frustrated, I was sad. I mean, just a flood of emotions came over me. And I remember leaving that room and just walking out in the city of Manhattan, 1,000 miles away from my family, feeling all alone. And I was angry, I was frustrated. As I'm walking along the road, I noticed a huge branch, and I just picked up this tree branch. As I walked, I started hitting cars and started smacking mailboxes and said some words to God that I probably shouldn't have said to God, just expressing my anger and my frustration. And that night was probably one of the most loneliest times of my life, where I felt like there's nobody I can talk to. There's nobody who will listen to me. I felt betrayed. I felt let down. Maybe some of you have felt that way before. And maybe if you're honest, there's some of you that feel that way right now. I want to let you know you're not alone. We've all been there. And in fact, what I want you to do right now is I want you to watch the video screens and listen to a story of a guy in our church, a good friend of mine who's been coming to Christ Church of the Valley since the very beginning. And I want you to listen to his stories. He's had to deal with loneliness the last couple years in his life. His name is Jerry. Check out his story.
My name is Jerry Witt, and I would like to share my story about my relationship with my wife, Vicki, and myself. I was a fireman for 30 years. I retired May of 2008. My wife Vicki and I are blessed to be founding members of Christ Church of the Valley. We have three sons, Jeremy, Josh, and John. Vic and I have always tried to be involved in church in any way that we can. We were in small groups, neighborhood groups. Vic was diagnosed with cancer, and she passed away. The Lord took her home in November of 2006. When Vic passed away, if it wasn't for my church family, my immediate family, my fire department family, and God in my life, I don't know how I would have made it. Through Vic's passing, the loneliness has been probably one of the hardest things for me. Well, the more you're by yourself, the easier it is to go into depression, but that's only because I feel, and my testimony is, that I was only thinking about myself and not others. There's people that have it far worse than I do. One of the things that I've really tried to do is get into the scripture and be more active in church than I was. But what gets me out of my loneliness is when I take my mind off of myself and count the blessing that God has given me each and every day, and then I could be a blessing to someone else. Because when things happen in your life, whether it's death or a loss of a job or your home or whatever it is, people are looking at you, how you react to that, and that's where your testimony of your faith stands out. Because it's always very easy to go to the dark side, so to speak, but I don't know how people that don't have the Lord in their life, I don't know how they make it. The Lord of my life is just, He has just blessed me so much and made me more aware of the blessings that He has given me each and every day and the people that He has put in my life.
I wanted you to hear Jerry's story because Jerry's just a regular, ordinary guy, just like somebody who comes to church here all the time. And Jerry had some difficult things that God sent his way, just like the Apostle Paul, things that he felt like he couldn't overcome on his own. And I'm so thankful that he reached out to God and looked to God for his help, for his support, for his encouragement in those difficult times. And as a result, he's made it now. He's overcome a lot of those feelings of loneliness. In fact, this week he was given an amazing gift. I went down to the hospital earlier this week because his younger son's one of my really good friends, Jeremy. And Jeremy and Allie just had a baby girl this past week. And so now he's got the gift of having another female in his life again that he can just kind of love and spend time with. So it's very cool just to see how God helps us and supports us and encourages us all the way through. So maybe you're feeling lonely today, and we need to ask ourselves this next question. It's on your notes. Why are people lonely? Why am I lonely? We need to know what causes loneliness. Why do we feel lonely? I believe that it's because there's some simple, basic needs that we have in life that are not being met. I want to quickly share with you what I believe three of the most basic needs are that we have, and if these needs are not being met, then you're going to be suffering and you're going to deal with loneliness. Let's look at these. Number one, I believe that everyone has a need for celebration. A need for celebration. In other words, a need to be joyful. A need to have passion and excitement and purpose in life. A reason to get up and enjoy life with other people. And in fact, the Apostle Paul knew this. Let's go back to the book of Philippians now and let's look at what he said. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, Paul said, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." You see, Paul says, I pray for you guys. I want you guys to have the best possible life. I want you to have joy in your life. I want you to have purpose and passion. I want you to celebrate life together. And you see, that's why we have church each and every week. We want to provide you with an atmosphere, with an opportunity to celebrate God, celebrate what God has done in your life and what God is doing in our community and other people's lives. And isn't this such a great place to come each and every week and celebrate God? Amen? Yeah? Do you guys appreciate the music time that we have each and every week and the band people that sing and play? Yeah. These guys work very hard each and every week to provide that type of an atmosphere and an environment. But you know what? Something I want to do, there's a group of people that hardly ever get recognized. They only get even noticed when they make a mistake, it seems like. And that's the behind-the-scenes people that work just as hard to pull off an amazing celebration experience each and every week. It's our video guys, it's our sound guys, it's our backstage people. Would you express your thanks to them right now for all that they do? In fact, here's what I want you to do. On your way out, I want you all to try to hug a cameraman, okay? Hug one of those camera guys. They're not liking that, but I'll put them out of their comfort zone and hug a cameraman. But thanks, guys and gals, for all you guys do. We really appreciate all you guys. You see, that's what we want to do. We want to provide this celebratory experience each and every week for you. And I think you understand that we all have this need to celebrate. In fact, think about things that we do in community together where we celebrate. We go to concerts. We watch movies. We go to sporting events. I want you to actually think about this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn and face the person on your left or right and share with them what is your favorite sports moment, your best sports moment that you can ever remember. You got 28 seconds to share that with your neighbor. Go for it. Well, that was obviously very easy for all of you. You guys all started talking right away. And I guarantee if we were to listen to everybody's story, it would involve other people. Our greatest sports moments, a lot of times, when we can share the agony of defeat and the joy of victory with a group of other people. Could you imagine experiencing a sporting event, you know, and having this great thrill and turning around to high-five your friend and there's nobody there? You know, or there's nobody to yell at. Or, did you see that play? Can you believe what happened? I was thinking about for myself, some of the greatest sports moments that I can remember are just so vivid. I remember all the people that were there and each and every time. I was remembering back to 1993. I was 23 years old. I'd been here on staff 1 year. I was the college pastor, and we were having a college outing, and it was the Suns versus the Bulls, NBA playoffs. You guys remember that? Yeah, somebody took a gasp. Like, oh, yeah. I remember it was game six. Game six, we were up by two. They had the ball, and I was screaming at the TV, don't let him shoot a three-pointer. Just don't give up a three. Let Jordan have a two. Let him tie the game, but make sure you guard the three-point line. What did they do? They all collapsed on Jordan. They didn't listen to me. Jordan throws it out to this guy named, you remember who it was? John Paxson. I mean, I was 23. At that time in my life, I felt like I could have beat Paxson in one-on-one. I mean, this guy, all he could do was shoot threes. That was it. Sure enough, Paxson shoots the three. They go up by one. They win the game. Man, I was so angry. I was so frustrated. All of us college guys, we were just hating life. We went out into the driveway and just played a game of basketball and beat the snot out of each other, just trying to get out our frustrations. Horrible memory, sports moment. Agony of defeat. But what about 2001? Arizona Diamondbacks World Series. You guys remember that? Yeah. What an amazing series. That'll go down as probably one of the greatest World Series of all time. I mean, we should have beat the Yankees 4-0. Why didn't we? One word, one phrase, one person, Byung-Hyun Kim. You remember that guy? Oh, man. The guy blew three straight games in New York. I mean, we should have swept him. But that made it be so much more dramatic. It came down to Game 7. You remember where you were when Gonzo hit that bloop single over the shortstop's head to win it? I was the youth pastor at that time. We were over in the youth building, Building 100. There was about 100 high school kids in there. And when he made that hit, when Jay Bell came home, scored the winning one, we were doing chest bumps. We were hugging each other. We were rolling on the floor. We were just going crazy for an hour. It was euphoric. It was awesome. That was like the first time an Arizona team actually won something. It didn't lose or choke. Oh. And then who can forget the Super Bowl last year? Hey, we got Steelers fans over here. Would you escort them out? Get the Steelers fans out of here, guards or ushers. Just take these guys out right now. Man, what a game. I was watching it with a bunch of people in my neighborhood. We had families over. There were little kids. There was adults. There was about 25 of us packed into my house. What a game. You remember the ending? Fitzgerald catches that ball, runs right down the middle, sprinting for the end zone. We're going crazy. We're going nuts. We're screaming. We're excited. This is great. And I'm yelling at the TV screen. Nobody can understand. I'm like, fall down, Fitz. Stop at the one. Don't go in. Because I knew there was only like a minute and a half left. I'm like, we can't give the Steelers more time to score. Fall down at the one so we can kick a field goal. But they didn't listen to me. We went in and scored. Did his own thing. It was just like John Paxson and the Suns. It's like, I should be coaching these teams, I think. But then what happens at the end? Santonio Holmes catches that ball in the end zone. His feet were clearly out of bounds, though, right? You guys remember? Clearly. We totally cheated. Totally gave it to him, but my counselor and I, we're working on this. We're dealing with it. I'll eventually get over it. But you remember those sports moments. You remember where you were. Think about a concert. Think about the movies. We enjoy celebrating life together with other people. And again, I just want to encourage you and challenge you, especially you men. When you come here to church, see it as a sporting event. See it as a concert. And I want you to get excited. I don't want you to sit in the back row with your arms folded, looking like you're about to fall asleep. If you get an experience that you enjoy and the music's pumping you up, chest bump the guy next to you up in the upper deck. That's all right. Give somebody a high five. Run over and see your buddy and give him a hug, whatever you need to do. But enjoy this service. Celebrate life together. You see, God created us to celebrate life and celebrate it with one another. And so I want to let you know, we provide a place for you each and every week to do that. That's the very first need that we have, a need to celebrate. Number two, everyone has a need for connection. What do I mean by a need for connection? I mean that God has created us specifically to have a connection with Him and a connection with other people. God wants to be our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be His sons and daughters. He created us for that purpose. He didn't create us and just plop us on the earth and then say, all right, we'll see you. Go your own way, do your own thing, and maybe eventually we'll run into each other. Now, He intimately pursues us. He wants to have a friendship with us. He's longing for that. You see, the Apostle Paul knew this as well. Back in the book of Philippians again, chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says this, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." You see, Paul had this connection with his friends, with his followers. He said, you guys, I have a passion for you. You're inside my heart. I remember you. I'm connected to you. And even though I'm sitting in this jail right now, and none of you are here with me, and I'm all by myself, I'm not lonely because I know of our connection. I'm connected to God through Jesus, and I'm connected to each and every one of you. And I remember back on the memories we've had, the times that we've spent together, and that keeps me going. It helps me to overcome these feelings of loneliness that come my way. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. God wants us to be connected to Him. And he wants us to be connected with other people. In fact, I was reminded of this, but I was thinking about one of my favorite TV shows when I was a teenager growing up. I just loved this show. I want you to see if you can figure out what show I'm talking about by listening to its theme song. Roll the theme song.
Making your way.
You know what it is, right?
Today takes everything you've got.
Tell the 20-year-olds. They don't know what this
taking
is right now. So
from all your worries,
tell them what show it is.
Sure could help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
How many of you, this was a great show? You love watching, be honest. All right, let's sing it out loud. Here we go.
Go where everybody knows your name.
I'm going to cry. This is awesome. Wasn't that a great show? Absolutely. I always wanted to be like Norm. Wasn't it cool when Norm came into church? Hey, Norm, how's it going? Hey, Norm's here. I wanted, Paul, hey, Paul, we're glad you're here. Whenever I entered a room, that's what I kind of wanted. I wanted that to happen, but it never really happened for me. But the point is, Cheers was such a popular show because it connected with each and every one of us. We all knew, yeah, I want to be in a place like that, a place where everybody knows my name, where everybody knows what's going on. Man, that would be great. To have that kind of connection with other people. And you got the sense that those guys in Cheers, that they did that every single day they went to that bar. Every single day of their life, they were together. And you know what? I want to encourage you right now with the church here is a great place. And many of you come here almost every week. But you know what? It's got to be more than just a weekly experience. Yeah, you can come here and you can connect with other people. But so many of us, we leave these doors and we never see each other again for weeks on a time. And God created us to connect with each other on a daily basis. Later on, I'm going to tell you about this thing called neighborhood ministry. It's a great opportunity for you to connect with other people on a consistent basis. But again, we all have this basic need to connect with God and connect with people. How are you doing in that area? So we've talked about celebration, we've talked about connection, and then finally, number three, everyone basically wants to feel cared for. We all have this basic desire to know that someone is caring for us, someone is looking out for us, someone has our back, so to speak, and that when difficult times come, when the crises of life come our way, we know we can turn to these different people. We can pick up the phone and we can call them. We can go over to their house and they're going to be there to listen and give us support and encouragement. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. He said, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You see, Paul was that kind of friend. He said, I long for each and every one of you with the affection of Jesus. I want you to know that you can count on me, that when you have difficult times, I'll be there for you. I'll be that shoulder that you can cry on. I'll be that guy that'll listen to whatever it is that's going through your life. Paul seemingly was a great friend, and all kinds of people went to him and relied upon him for hope, for encouragement, for help in tough times. How about you? Be honest with yourself right now. If I ask you this question, who do you turn to in times of crises? Who do you look to help you out? Who do you go to who will tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear? And the reality is, there's some of us in the room right now that we don't have that person in our life. And as a result, we feel so empty. We feel so lonely. We feel helpless. And we don't know who to turn to. We don't know where to go to get answers. For me, for the last 10 years, I've been fortunate enough to be meeting with a group of different guys throughout the years in a group called either an accountability group or a transformation group is what we call them now. And it's usually been me and three other guys. And at the beginning when we start these groups, we say, you know what, we want to make sure that we realize that we want to do life together. And so whenever life gets difficult, whenever life gets crazy, we're going to be here for each other and we're going to help each other out no matter what comes our way. And there's been times when those guys have been there for me and I've called them and they've helped me out. And there's been times when I've been there for others. And this very last week was one of those times where one of the guys in my group called me up at about 10 o'clock at night, 10:30. He said, man, my wife and I are having a very difficult time, and we've got to talk to somebody. Can you and your wife come and see us right now? And my wife was already in bed asleep, and I said, you know what, absolutely, we'll do it. I woke her up, we got dressed, we went out to this, we met by this restaurant that was closing, and we just stayed outside this restaurant till 1 o'clock in the morning this last week. Just talking, just listening, just praying with one another, just encouraging them, supporting them, letting them know that we're here for you. We don't have all the answers, and we know this is difficult right now, but if you trust in God and you put your hope in Him, you're going to get through this. Things can get better. We all need to have those kind of people in our life, people that we can turn to in those difficult times. So I hope you understand right now that you've got this basic need to celebrate. You've got this basic need to connect. And you've got this need to know that somebody cares for you. And if you don't have those needs being met in your life, then you're absolutely going to feel lonely. It's going to be difficult. Life's going to throw some tough things your way. And so as we wrap this all up, let's go back to see what the Apostle Paul said at the very end of this section of Scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. And I think when we read the Scriptures, you'll see this is his formula for overcoming loneliness. He boils it all down, makes it really simple. So let's look at it, starting in verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Man, Paul made it really simple right here. He says, you know what? It's just this. It's this simple, that you need to connect with God and you need to connect with God's people. So the first thing I want you to hear right now is that you've got to connect with God. That if you truly want to overcome loneliness, you've got to connect yourselves to God. If you think that you can overcome loneliness by having all these friends in your life, by having a great counselor, by reading all these books, but leaving God out of the equation, then you're wrong. You're still going to have this emptiness in your heart. There's still going to be a void. There's going to be people that are going to fail you. They're not going to be perfect in your life, but God is perfect. And as Andy said earlier, Jesus Christ himself said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And lo, I am with you always till the very end of the age. If you want to have a friend that's with you through thick and thin, who's always there, who's always available, then it's God. God wants to be that friend in your life. And so for those of you who have never connected with God in that way before, you've never given up control of your life to him and traded your life for his life, I want to challenge you right now to give that a try. I want to challenge you to think about that. I want to encourage you to come to a class that we offer every month called Starting Point. And this is where we go into great detail to explain what an adventure with Jesus Christ is all about, how you can become God's daughter, how you can become God's son, and how he can become your heavenly father. So if you've never done that before, I challenge you to join us October 4th on Sunday for about 3.5 hours, and we'll share with you in detail what that looks like. And you'll have the opportunity, have the gift of God's Holy Spirit living inside of your heart with you everywhere you go. You'll have 100% access to God at any time. That's the number one way to overcome loneliness. There's no other way about it. But the second thing that Paul says here is you've got to connect with God's people. You've got to have that relationship with God. That's first, that's foremost. But you've got to connect with God's people as well, because so many times that's how God works in our life. In other words, God's people sometimes are his very hands and his very feet. He uses his people to encourage you, to support you, to love you, to stand beside you, to help you out through all the difficult times that come your way. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." In other words, the writer here is saying, you've got to meet together. You've got to do life together. And when you do, your role, your purpose is to encourage one another. It's to love one another. It's to make each other better. And again, I was telling you about that thing called neighborhood ministry. This is why we're so passionate about neighborhood ministry right now. Our goal is not that you would just come here to church and you would celebrate and you would have a great experience and you'd walk out the doors and just do your own thing for the next 5 days, 6 days. Our goal is that you would come here and this would just be the beginning. And you'd go back out these doors and you would connect with other people in your neighborhoods, knowing there are people that are going through life just like you that want to encourage you, that want to help you, want to support you, want to be that person that you can talk to no matter whatever comes your way in any difficult crisis time. So what we do is we have over 300 neighborhood groups that are meeting throughout the greater Phoenix area. And in fact, after the service is over, I want to challenge you to go out these doors and go out into our courtyard. And you'll see each and every one of our neighborhood areas. There's people out there behind tables with maps. And I want to challenge you today, if you've never got involved in neighborhood ministry, go out there, find where your neighborhood is, and connect with other people. It's an amazing experience. Some of you remember me talking about the old neighborhood I used to live in about 5 years ago. And I really got to know a lot of the people on my street, and we would walk to neighborhood group together, and it was a great group of people, and we saw people become Christians that weren't before, and we loved one another, we went on missions trips together, we did a lot of great things together. And now I don't live in that neighborhood anymore, and it's been like 3 years since I've lived there, but yet I still have this connection with those group of people, and in fact, many of those families, every Saturday night, they go out and they eat together out by the fireplace, and out here. And I know that if I haven't seen him in 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, any Saturday night I can go out there and I can connect with them, and it's just like Cheers all over again. And they know my name and I know their name, and I know what's going on in their world, they know what's going on in my world, and we can just connect and catch up instantly. And we've got that same type of atmosphere going in the new neighborhood that I live in. We walk to our neighborhood group again. I see other people at the bus stop picking up their kids, dropping off their kids, mowing the lawns together. We invite people over and have them in our house for dinner. We just do life together. And you know what? It's so much more rewarding when you do it that way, as opposed to just coming to church, sitting in a chair for an hour, and then going back out in your life. God wants us to connect with him, and he wants us to connect with his people. If you've never tried that before, take a chance, take a risk, get some courage, and go out there and sign up for a neighborhood group. So there's two things I want you to hear. I'll reiterate it one last time. If you're lonely, the way to overcome that is connect with God and connect with God's people. Would you join me in prayer? Dear God, I thank you so much for the Apostle Paul. I thank you for his willingness to share his life with us, to share his story with us, to be honest, to be open and transparent. God, it would have been so easy for him to be angry, depressed, frustrated, and lonely, being in that prison cell for over 2 years. But God, I thank you that it was in the midst of his loneliness that he wrote this letter in Philippians that we're going to be studying over the next 8 weeks. And I pray that as we study it, we would see and we would learn things that will help us overcome all the things that life throws our way. God, for the people in the room right now that have never connected with you, God, I pray that you would be speaking to their hearts in a powerful way right now. And I pray that they would seek you out and they would take a risk and come to the Starting Point class next month. God, for the people in the room who've never really connected with God's people where they live and they're just trying to do life solo with just you and no one else in their life, God, I pray you would give them the strength and the courage to leave this building, go outside, and get involved in their neighborhood group and make a difference, not only in their own life, but in their neighborhoods and in their communities as well. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.